Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. For a few minutes this morning, I would like for us to consider overcoming sinful habits. You might be thinking, who needs to hear this? Friends, every one of us needs to hear this. Every one of us falls short of what God would have us to do. And if we think that we do not and that we are at a position where we have arrived, then we should be helping others that are going through situations so that they can live that life that God would have us to live. I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We are going to start there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels and much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes against law to brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So we see here a list of sins that these Corinthians had been involved in. And this is just one of many lists of sins that we see in God's Word where we go too far or we fall short. But what I want us to notice starting off with this list of sins is verse 11, and such were some of you. Such were. So they changed. They changed from being whatever they were to being a Christian. And God, when we become a Christian, He has certain expectations of us. He didn't save us just so we can go about and fulfill whatever we want to do. He saved us so that we can worship Him and bring honor and glory to His name. We do that through our worship. We do that by living a godly moral life. We do that by reading our Bible daily for growth. We do that by praying to Him without ceasing. We do that by studying with other Christians. We do that by being faithful to His Son, Jesus. So we're going to look at the problem of overcoming sinful habits, those things that keep us from being what we ought to be. We need to understand this progression. And with this illustration, this man falling down the steps, there's a progression. You can either fall down them or you can climb up them. We need to watch our thoughts because our thoughts become our words. We need to watch our words because our words become actions. Our actions become habits. Our habits become character. And our character becomes our destiny. So our destiny all starts back with what we think, what our thoughts are. Are we allowing bad habits to rob us? You think about the list that I read in 1 Corinthians. Here's another list. Drug addiction, drinking alcohol, pornography, covetousness, tobacco, overeating, cursing, swearing, lying, gossip, fault-finding, complaining, worry, wastefulness, absenteeism, tardiness. The list could go on and on and on how we fall short. These habits that start with our thoughts. Are we allowing these habits to rob us? To rob us of our happiness? To rob us of our health? When we continue in sin, that can create serious issues with our health. Is it robbing our spiritual growth? I saw a chart the other day. I want to make a PowerPoint of it. But it was a scale of 1 to 10. 1 on this side, it had milk. 10 on this side, it had meat. And then it listed 3 different things for us to rate ourselves. Where are we on that scale of spiritual growth? How about spiritual productivity? How about our confidence? Our confidence in us being faithful to God. Our confidence in sharing the gospel with others. Our security. But one of the first things we need to understand to break a bad habit, we need to recognize and identify the problem. One of the reasons we don't recognize the habits that we have is because of blindness. Blindness to the need to stop a bad habit ensures the rejection of all pleas to stop. If we are blind, if we don't see it, we're just going to keep on doing what we are doing wrong. So we need to identify the cause, not just the symptoms. And whatever this sin is over here that we see, there is some cause over here that is creating it. And the sooner that we can recognize and identify the problem, the better. Jesus said in Matthew 15, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." So again, those actions that we commit all come from our thoughts. But too many times we are blind to see what our situation is. To break a bad habit, we need to cultivate a strong desire to quit. The desire to quit must be stronger than the desire to continue in it. You hear the saying, you know, smoking is easy to quit. I've done it 100 times. See, they haven't had that strong desire to quit. Their desire to smoke is stronger than their desire to quit. So it requires proper and sufficient modification. People really do what they want to do. When they say, I don't want to do this, they're lying. They're lying. They want to do it, and then they want you to say it's okay to do that. Romans 6:15, Paul writes, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Friends, if we were a slave of sin, and all of us were, and we were set free, why would we want to go back and serve that master? Satan is the worst master there is. He wants to destroy us. He wants to kill us. He wants to rob us of our life. He wants to rob us of our souls. Don't we understand? We have been so blessed to leave that slavery, and now we have the best master there is. But with the master that we have, he expects us to serve him. And it shouldn't be out of duty. It's out of love for what he has done for us. You think about any calamity. Maybe if someone is drowning in water, or somebody needs an organ replacement, or someone has this huge sum of debt and someone pays off their debt, any of those instances, we naturally feel indebted to the person that saved us from those things. How much more should we feel indebted to Christ, the Son of God, who saved us from the debt of our sin? We need to cultivate hatred for the habit. Whatever the habit is, we've got to learn to hate it, not tolerate it, not play with it every so often. We need to hate it. Too many have a lax view of sin and its consequences. Everybody does it. Well, you know, I'm better than this person. We need to see sin being black and hell as being hot. Not any other way. Psalm 119:104, through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. So we got to ask ourselves, I got to ask myself, if I see these sins and I don't hate them, do I have God's word in my heart? If I think, well, that's your choice, that's okay, everybody does what they want to do, do I have God's word in my heart? Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. It's not that we hate the person doing it. It's we hate that sin because that sin is going to keep them out of heaven. That sin is going to cause them to lose their soul. That's why we hate those false ways. If we're going to break a bad habit, we need to seek God's help. What is God's will regarding sin in our life? What temptation cannot be overcome with God's help? You think about this. If you're struggling with something, is there anything that God is not capable of helping us with? What can we do through Christ? Is it some things? Is it a couple of things? We know the answer to this. I can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13. Well, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Again, none of us have arrived. We all fall short. We all steadfastly continue and persevere each day. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. And we think nobody's going through what I am or dealing with what I am. That's not true. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Whatever Satan's going to throw temptations at us every day, every temptation that Satan throws at us, God is going to throw a way of escape at us. Which one are we going to choose? It's up to us. We can't blame God. We can't blame God for us sinning because he's provided us a way of escape. Too many times we just do not want to follow that way of escape because we love being in that sin more than we love being away from it. Well, how do we break a bad habit? We need to seek help from our brethren. Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 6, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You know, I hate to say it, but I'm considered a senior now. I'm an older person, and I grew up in the church, and my whole lifetime, I've never seen someone ask for help in the church, and they were looked down on. No matter what the sin was, I've never seen someone that was involved in some sin and they were looked down on. What's the attitude of brothers and sisters? We want to help this person. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We see someone stumbling in sin, we want to help them. We want to do that out of a spirit of love. I want to do that because I might be that one in that position the next time and need somebody to lovingly help me, to help us break a habit. Humility is needed in each of these steps, but one needs enough humility to seek the support from other brethren. Brethren, whatever it is, whatever the problem is, we need to be open and say, I need help. The strong cannot force accountability on the weak. See, we depend on each other. We rely on each other. How do we break a bad habit? We need to quit it now, as soon as we can. If you were diagnosed with cancer when it was in its early treatable stage, would you say, oh, I'll get around to it, I'll come back later? No, we want to take action as soon as we can. Well, what about sin? There's nothing more serious than sin. Ecclesiastes 12, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light, the moon, the stars are not darkened. Friends, we need to break our bad habits now. We need to remember God now. Because if we don't, it's like we read about in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And our hearts become seared. Our conscience becomes seared. And then we cannot feel. We cannot be touched. And we continue in our sins. Well, how do we develop a good habit? You see, we've got to stop the bad habits. We've got to develop a good habit. We've got to identify the problem, cultivate a strong desire to quit, cultivate hate for the habit, seek God's help, seek help from brethren, and quit. So to replace the bad habits with good ones, it starts again with our thoughts. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It all starts with our thoughts. Our thoughts. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Our thoughts. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How can you tell where somebody's thoughts are? Talk to them for 5 minutes. Talk to them for 5 minutes, and they will tell you where their thoughts are. It was when I went here, when I went there, when I was seeing this person, when I was talking to that person. We need to have our thoughts set on God's word. So when people ask us something or we're in a conversation, our thoughts are centered on God's words, and it's so much easier to just start talking about God's word. We need to be involved in Bible study. Psalm 119, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. We don't think about the Bible when we get here for a few minutes and then we forget it as soon as we walk out the door. It should be our meditation all day, over and over and over. Isaiah 34:16. Search from the book of the Lord and read, not one of these shall fail, not one shall lack her mate, for my mouth has commanded it and his spirit has gathered them. We need to be in God's word. Acts 17:11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they receive the word with all readiness and search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Are we strong enough that we should do any less? Do we search the scriptures, or do we want to just listen to a couple minutes a day and check it off the list? Friends, it's good to listen to God's word, but we need to get into God's word. We need to search God's word. We need to study for ourselves. It's okay to study what somebody else studied after you studied for yourself. Study for yourself and then see what somebody else came up with to see how the two compare. We need to be in prayer. When we get rid of these bad habits, we're going to have a vacuum, so we need to fill them with these good habits, prayer. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. We need to come together when we come together. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. God wants us to be together as much as we can. And why? To stir up to love and good works. This is where we gain our strength, is with each other. This is where we gain our support and security. This is where we gain our highs. Seeing a baptism a couple weeks ago, hearing news of different things about people, getting into God's word, remembering that great sacrifice. And when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he explained what the church, what this assembly is, when he said, when you come together in one place, when you come together as the church, that's where the worship takes place. And we need to attend. We need to replace bad habits with good ones. We need to share our faith. Acts 8:4, therefore those who are scattered went everywhere preaching the word. We need to take the word with us wherever we go. 1 Thessalonians 1:8, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. We need to do kind deeds. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. We need to be affectionate toward one another. Romans 12:10. So many kind deeds. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. You see, friends, when we get rid of those bad habits and we start putting these good habits in, we're going to enjoy these good habits. And it's kind of like the struggle between sin and the struggle between doing right. It's kind of like the struggle between junk food and eating healthy food. We know that junk food isn't good, but we like to eat it, and the more we like to eat it, the more we like to eat it. But if we can drop out this piece of junk food and substitute something good, and then another one and something good, and another one and something good, then we've made a big change. But we want to live in both worlds. We want to live in the junk food world in the good food world, and we can't do it. We can't live in the devil's camp and be in the Lord's army both at the same time. We can't do it. We need to speak uplifting words to others. He was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily while it's called today. Friends, none of us know when our last day is going to be. We can exhort each other today. We don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. So we need to identify the problem. We need to think like God, study the Bible, pray, be at every service we can, share the faith, do kind deeds, encourage others. And when we develop a good habit, it requires desire. Again, if we do something and we don't want to do it, God's not going to accept it. It requires desire and commitment. My son, Proverbs 4:20, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. You want life and health? They are in the words of God. So this requires desire, commitment, diligence, and focus. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Friends, we need to stay focused in Christ. We need to stay focused to make it home to heaven. We need to develop these good habits. We need dedication. We need action. Ponder the path of your feet. Let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. See, too many times we don't follow that path. We wander from it. We stray off the path. So we need desire, commitment, diligence, focus, determination, dedication, action. But all of this goes back to our thoughts, where we started. Our thoughts become our words become our actions become our habits become our character. We need to watch our character because that becomes our destiny. Whether we spend eternity in heaven or hell, it all starts with our thoughts. Do you have sinful habits you need to break? You need to recognize your need. The longer you continue in sin, the harder it is to stop. We just need to stop today and repent. We need to cultivate a hatred for sin and for all that stands between spiritual growth and eternal reward, and cultivate a love for God and for what is right and good. We need to make that commitment. If that commitment has failed, we need to recommit our lives to God. We need to replace sinful habits with godly habits. Take determined and decisive action. One of the buzzwords that's come up in the last couple of years is intentional. Intentional this, intentional that. They're just rehashing decisive action. We need to make a determination. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In Ephesians 5:24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. Friends, we are the bride of Christ. We are to be holy, without spot or wrinkle, without any blemish. That means we must get rid of those bad habits. We must put in those good habits. We must do that for 101 reasons. But one of the biggest reasons is Christ, he uses this phrase, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, he's comparing the church to a wife, and Christ is coming back for his church. Christ is coming back for his wife, and we need to be ready. Friends, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Friends, if you aren't ready, you need to be obedient to the gospel invitation. Don't put it off. You need to do it. You need to do it now. We invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.
I heard a